Welcome to Politics Ohio. From WISO in Yellow Springs, I'm Juliet Frumholt. Rob Baker is a political science professor at Wittenberg University, and recently he penned an op-ed for the Dayton Daily News about some important issues taking place in local governments. To get the details, WISO's Jerry Kenny spoke with Rob by phone earlier this week.
Rob, thanks for speaking with us today. Your recent op-ed in the Dayton Daily News focused on the power that local government entities have in various communities and their impact. Summarize that a little further, if you will.
Sure. I was talking about the advisory boards like planning commissions and park boards and zoning appeals boards that cities use to primarily take advice from citizens for how city councils might make decisions, primarily in the area of growth and development. Most cities have about a half a dozen to eight boards that citizens can serve on, and they need to get appointed by the city council, typically, or the mayor, and the elected officials rely on them for important information to help them make decisions.
You gave us three examples, and let's talk about what happened with the Springboro Planning Commission development plans that they reviewed down there.
Sure. Well, in the case that I mentioned in the op-ed piece, there was a retail development that was proposed by a developer on Central Avenue down there, and the city code requires that those kinds of proposals go to the Planning Commission first, and then if the Planning Commission likes them, they'll approve those and send those on to the city council. But the city council has the final say in that. In this particular instance, the Planning Commission voted 4-0 to approve the request to redevelop that area and put in that retail facility. There were no citizens actually present at the meeting, so there are no citizen comments, which is sometimes it's actually pretty common. A lot of citizens aren't even aware that these entities exist and so don't attend the meetings, of course, which is unfortunate. I think the decisions are pretty critical to the quality of life for communities, and when something controversial does emerge, people are aware of it usually, and they'll try to attend or at least send some comments via email or whatever. But frequently, the meetings are not well attended. They kind of operate in what I call the local twilight zone. There's not a lot of light shined on them, so it's unfortunate. I was trying to get in the op-ed piece the idea that as a result of folks not knowing about these very much, they are making decisions that are affecting our lives, and it might be a good idea to learn a little bit more about them.
What are you suggesting in the way of shedding more light on how these entities operate?
Well, I think one of the things that citizens could do is simply go to, most cities these days have websites, just go to the website and see what advisory boards and commissions do exist in the cities and in their city, and if they have an interest in even serving on one, that would be good. One of the things I pointed out based on my research is that there's not a lot of diversity in the memberships of these boards and commissions. My research is based on 60 cities across 6 states, so a pretty good data set over about 20 years worth of work, and they're about 25% of the members of these boards are female. The lion's share are male. There's not a lot of diversity in terms of race. And so, you know, that raises, I think, some questions for people about the democratic nature of local government, at least the representativeness of local government. And one of the ways that I think would be helpful in this regard is if we had a more diverse group of people serving on these boards.
And how would we fix this problem within local governments? What can they do themselves to open up these processes to more people?
Yeah, sure. Good question. Some cities have tried to promote and publicize the existence of these entities a little bit more. City councils and mayors are primarily responsible for recruiting people to serve on them, and in some instances, cities have made a concerted effort to go into communities, parts of the community that typically are underrepresented in local government, to see if there might be some interest from folks who might be interested in serving on the boards and commissions. So that's definitely one thing that has been done around the country with communities, and could be done more, I think, to improve the diversity and in many ways what might be perceived as the legitimacy of the decision-making of these entities if it did seem like that they were more of a cross-section of the population of the community.
That diversity of ideas and thought and people power came into play in another example that you mentioned with the Beaver Creek Planning Commission, where mm-hmm. they have decided to table discussions on a rezoning effort there.
Right. And citizens were aware of the proposal, particularly citizens who lived adjacent to the proposed area that was going to be rezoned for the cottages of Beaver Creek. It's currently agriculturally zoned, and they were aware of it. The city had done a pretty good job of getting information out that this was a proposal that was being made. And, you know, they came and they expressed concerns about access and emergency vehicles and sound buffering. And so that kind of citizen input to the planning process did make the members of the board sit back and take notice and say, well, at least we need to get a little bit more information here before we approve this and recommend it to the city council. So you're right, that was helpful once people were made aware of that issue.
What other communities, local governments in the area are doing well as far as keeping that process open and giving notice to their citizens?
Well, Springfield does a pretty good job. So does Xenia does a pretty good job. Xenia was in one of the study groups, or one of the cities in my included in my study. Ohio is one of the states involved, you know, included, of course. But a number of communities in Minnesota are really doing well. For example, I think we could learn from Minnesota, fairly progressive in the sense of trying to be more open compared to some of the other states. Ohio's not bad, don't get me wrong, but Minnesota cities have done a pretty good job of making sure that they communicate with social media or whatever they need to be sure that citizens are aware of these entities, what the agendas are, when their meeting times are. One of the things that actually has happened here in Clark County, it's interesting, as a result of this op-ed piece, I got a phone call from a member of one of the commissions here in Clark County. It's actually a county rural zoning commission, who said, "Hey, you know, you're right. We're just made up of a bunch of elderly men, and one of the issues that I've had a problem with is when we meet, we actually meet in the mornings, and I've suggested that maybe we should meet in the evening so that at least people could have a better chance of attending our meetings, and maybe we could even get a more diverse membership of our planning commission." But my fellow colleagues on the commission liked the fact that we met when it was more convenient to them, so they voted me down. Can you help me? And so I say, well, I'll tell some folks that I know and see if they can maybe check into it. But that's one issue, I think, is when do these things meet? And if you look around the country, some of them still do meet at times that are inconvenient for citizens to even show up and express concern if they've got them. And so that's something that cities could do a better job of is looking at when they meet. Are they amenable to times when citizens can easily get there? And if not, maybe consider, you know, some other times.
The op-ed certainly drew our attention, and as you mentioned, perhaps, hopefully, some local governments are paying attention to what you have to say here. You've done plenty of research on this. It's presented in Government in the Twilight Zone. Where can folks find out more about your research and take a look at that?
Well, it's available on Amazon. It's also SUNY Press is the publisher. If you go to SUNY Press, SUNY, .org, you can find it, as well as on Amazon. And it's in paperback. It just came out in paperback a few months ago as well.
Rob Baker is a political science professor at Wittenberg University. Rob, thanks so much for speaking with us.
Sure.
You've been listening to Politics Ohio from WISO. Find more episodes at wiso.org. There you can subscribe to our podcast, which is also available on iTunes and Google Play.